Blog Talk Radio.
It is my honor to bring to the line for the very, very first time, Shaniqua Shande. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I really mean that. First of all, what an incredible talent. Let me just lead on in with that. Shaniqua, you've done so much, and you have just, first of all, we love everything, but I'm going to start with the music.
Yes.
Okay, this incredible song that just, it resonates with me, but I'm going to have you tell us about, literally tell us about something about you, and the incredible video and all of that. So please tell us the inspiration for the song and how it all came about.
The inspiration is me. I honestly had never seen a really healthy romantic relationship as a child and didn't think it was possible for women who look like me. So I prioritized my career. And in self-discovery and really just tapping into God and, of course, therapy and all of the things, I'm like, well, that's a lie. Black women can have it all. That's something that the world would like us to believe, that we have to either be career women or barefoot and pregnant. But we can honestly do both. We can have everything that everyone else has. We can have life abundantly. And so in that, I wrote about the love story that I wanted, or at least that resonated with me, is about a woman who is busy. And love comes and it makes her realize that it can be a priority for her. There's a safe space that he offers and lets her know that this is real. And so the song is called Something About You Could Change My Mind. And the music video, which is directed by the incredible Megan Good,
amazing.
Which I cannot get over. Isn't that a blessing? An icon directed my first music video.
And it is a beautiful video, by the way. It's beautifully done, well crafted on every level. I just love from top to bottom. Outstanding. Absolutely.
It's such a blessing, too, because, like, my celeb friends came out. We've got Jackie Long in it, and Lori Swank, and Isaac Keys plays my love interest. And we just wanted to show a different type of leading lady, a different type of romantic couple that hasn't been shown before. We wanted to show a curvy woman stomping the red carpet and becoming a Hollywood it girl, and allow people who feel like they haven't been represented on screen to see this and be like, yes, we're chosen, we're loved, we're fabulous, we're luxurious in fashion and couture. And it's just also this beautiful time capsule, because a lot of the moments in it are actual red carpets and Harlem parties. So I look at it and I'm like, oh, I remember season one, you know. It's really cool.
Well, I'm loving this, that, you know, when you mention about, you know, representation, you haven't always seen representation out there. But I've got to say, these days, it looks like the world is slowly changing. Maybe it could speed up a little bit with the process.
It could, because we still live in a world where Angela Bassett does not have an Oscar. So we can definitely speed up.
Was that not just debilitating on every level, and folks are looking at that from so many different angles. I did not know that it was going to resonate so deeply. So you, as an actress, what do you say? How do you process that whole thing?
I know it's so, because right, the activist in me wants to be like, we don't need them, we can just do our own thing. But don't you still want the promotion? Because winning an Oscar is not only being honored by the Academy, it offers a career promotion. All of a sudden, you're getting paid more because you have Oscar award winner beside you, and you get access to greater materials. So who wouldn't want, in any field where they've like dedicated their whole entire lives?
Exactly.
Angela Bassett is literally one of the greatest actors, male or female, to ever grace the screen. And of course, we all want that promotion, and we want it for her. And so part of me is like, we don't need them, but we don't have anything that gives that verification the way an Oscar does. It opens
exactly.
so many doors.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carefree Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been flapping and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of cheater little homie wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight. situation they got me facing. I can't live a normal life, I was raised by the shit, so I gotta be down with the hood team. Too much television watching got me chasing dreams. I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. Got my 10 in my hand and a gleam in my eye. I'm a low-down gangster, set tripping banker. And my homies is down, so don't arouse my anger. Fool, death ain't nothing but a heartbeat away. I'm living life do or die. What can I say? I'm 23 now, but will I live to see 24? The way things are going, I don't know.
Tell me why.
After minute, hour after hour, everybody's running, but half of them ain't looking what's going on in the kitchen. But I don't know what's cooking. They say I got to learn, but nobody's here to teach me. If they can't understand it, how can they reach me? I guess they can't, I guess they won't, I guess they front. That's why I know my life is out of luck, fool.
Black history is American history, and the Hair Radio Morning Show is an African-American broadcast institution. So we're proud to celebrate more than just once a year. Our very broadcast is predicated on the ongoing legacy of our community. The Hair Radio Morning Show highlights the indelible contribution to our great country by African-Americans everywhere. So we've been a big, big part of every fiber in the United States and continue to move the marker forward. So listening to our daily broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show is honoring Black history. So stay tuned.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in Black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first Black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this Black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Everybody,
I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Carrie Hines and the Hair Radio Morning Show and the Hair Radio brand, which is just one component of what I do, but it's a big one. And it has been very important. It's probably had the greatest influence of pretty much on my platforms, and where we've been able to make an impression on everyone from entrepreneurs of all walks of life, to those who are specializing in the hair and beauty industry, which has been my stock and trade for several decades. And I'm just very honored. And then I kind of parlayed that into a big, big platform with my own hair products called Kerapy, K-E-R-R-A-P-Y. That means carry and hair therapy. And if that's not enough, I also, of course, started a great magazine right now. It's online digital called Afrolock, A-F-R-O-L-O-C-K, Afrolock Magazine. And I'm so proud of it, because what it really exemplifies is that it is a lock on Afroculture. So that magazine is a lifestyle brand, which is so funny, because when I created it, I had already been working in the area with magazines like Upscale. I had been there, one of their graphic artists, and also produced their radio network.
The shop money is fast money, and if you're wise, you'll stash the money, because eventually you'll get burnt out. Now your pocket's looking funny. Never saw it coming, because you've been balling since 24. Do one-hand designer shoes all day, now your knees sore. Create your exit plan, or you'll be stuck in the trap. Like selling dope, the money come faster with no plan, it's a wrap. Miss your kids growing up trying to stack that paper. Now they're grown and you missed out on their life, and I hope they don't hate you. The shop will make you money, but it could leave you blind. Taking that thing that you can't get back, and that's called time. Taking trips to the hair show, yeah, that's sweet, but then you gotta rush back to the shop to stand on your feet. I'm just trying to school this generation the best that I can. Ball out and stack that paper, make sure you got an exit plan. The hair game is like a trap, money falling in your lap. God forbid you get sick, now your clientele off track. You better get you some insurance, and that's just something you can't dodge, cause you mess around and you get sick, now you're forced to get a job. You buy your kids everything just to compensate for the time lost. Traded in the best years of their life just to call myself a boss.
Don't come around, talk about that you love me, cause that love just for me. I don't wanna hear that you adore me, and I know that all you're doing is running your mind games. Don't you know that game is a big game, so your best bet is to be straight with me. So you say you wanna talk, let's talk. If you won't talk, I'll walk. Yeah, it's like that, I got a new man. He's way now back, now what? What you think about that? Now when I say I'm through, I'm through. Basically I'm through with you. What you wanna say? I had to have it your way, had to play games. Now you're begging me to stay.
There you go, looking pitiful, just because I let you go. There you go, talking about you want me back, but sometimes it feels like that. So there you go, talking about you missing, know that you love me, so I let you go. There you go, cause your life's not over. There you go.
Please don't come around talking about how you changed. Say goodbye to what's the name. All it sounds like to me is new game. And I was right when I thought I'd be much better off without you. Had to get myself around you, cause my life was all about you. So you say you wanna talk, I don't. Say you wanna change, I won't. Yeah, it's like that, had your chance, won't take it back. Now what you think about that? And when I say I'm through, I'm through. Basically I'm through with you. What you wanna say? Had to have it your way, had to play games. Now you're begging me to stay.
There you go, looking pitiful, just because I let you go. There you go, talking about you want me back, but sometimes it feels like that. So there you go, talking about you missing, so that you love me, so I let you go. There you go, cause your life's not over.
Take you back. Do you wish that things were simple like that? Oh, didn't miss a good thing till it's gone. But I knew it wouldn't be long till you came running back. Missing my love, there you go.
There you go, looking pitiful, just because I let you go. There you go, talking about you want me back.
That's why.
What does Black History Month mean to you?
Black History Month to me, Carrie, and Michael means celebration. It means acknowledgement of the contributions, the achievements of African Americans that have played a key role in our history and also currently. Just individuals that have impacted our communities, just throughout the world with their activism, with their achievements. It's a time to highlight leaders, trailblazers, but then it's also a time to that it shows our children today the possibilities that are ahead for them, the future, the things that are possible, the things that are achievable. And it also gives the opportunity, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, to just educate yourself more, to learn more about our ancestors, about our history, where we came from, just this time up until now. So that's what Black History Month means to me. It's just really a celebration and a source of education. And Carrie, let me just say that, yes, we have Black History Month, but to me, every single day is about Black history. So that's what Black History Month means to me.
Wow. And Michael, what about you?
Wow. Well, with myself, what Black History Month means to me, I think about a lot of the military people that are all part of the history of this great country that we live in. And even though a lot of them may have not gotten the recognition that they would deserve, a lot of times it's starting to happen now that we're starting to see that there are people that were pivotal in the history of this country when it came to going to war, to fighting for our freedoms, fighting for other people's freedoms. And it helped with the civil rights movement. It helped with the esteem of a lot of African Americans when a lot of times it looked like we were kind of down and out. And then we'd have people like the Harlem Hellfighters and the great things they did during World War One. And then we had World War Two. We had the Tuskegee Airmen and the great pride that they brought to being an African American. And so forth. During the Vietnam War, there were so many African Americans like Colin Powell and Chappie James. They came along and they built that pride that as African Americans in uniform, we could just go for it. It showed us that there were no limitations. We had Admiral Gravely, United States Navy, one of the first admirals that was an African American, Chappie James. You know, the list just goes on and on, but it showed us as African Americans, we can achieve things. That's what it means to me, Black History Month.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow. Now, what does Black History Month mean to you, Carrie?
Oh, thank you for asking, guys. For me, and I definitely acknowledge the incredible articulation of both my incredible colleagues here, Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins, and I echo your sentiment. And I just would add that when I think about Black History Month, I think about living in Black History times today. What does that mean? That means that we are still. We are still fighting the good fight.
Oh, yes.
And endeavoring to make history. We have not been able to make history.
So true.
As you guys know in the current news, and every time you turn on your TV, you're seeing things that you shouldn't be seeing. Our people, our community, has been pretty much criminalized around, you know, folks thinking that we are bad. Meanwhile, your pockets are being going into another way. And it's made us distrust each other.
So true.
So true.
It is a way that if you can plant the seed of doubt and distrust in your own brother and sister, you're going to just perish and destroy yourself. So when I think about Black history, I think about our ancestors, the struggles. I think about my parents who have gone on, who would just be so disheartened to see today so many things that are just ridiculous. But to all who have done incredible things, accomplishments, who are part of our community and look like us, I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. And we're going to continue to stand on their shoulders with the legacies that they have left and bestowed to us.
Oh, yes.
Very much so.
So I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that. I also want to thank the folks at BOBSA.org, which stands for the Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association.org, the work that Sam Annan is doing out on the West Coast and throughout the country, really, to folks who are looking to open up supply stores in our community, which has been, you know, historically very complicated to do at best. So we're excited during the month of February, this entire month, with Sam to talk with the many folks at BOBSA who've been on our show as we welcome a lot of the new BOBSA members. And we're real excited about that.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say thank you, guys. Awesome job. All right. So that's what it means to me. We live Black history because these are Black times, I call it. So on that note, folks, stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Blackness. Keep on.
smiles on like you said, on his feet. Some changes there, and being taking over a helm of leadership in terms of what we call just innovative black hair or innovative technology in the ethnic beauty sector. It's an interesting one. You know, you get all types of players on all levels, distribution, production, science, you know, lab, chemistry, and then consumer engagement now with the new, you know, not with new, but just the element of social interaction on a consumer level on social media. So just all of those components just in an era of great change for ethnic beauty.
What exactly is ethnic beauty? Let's talk a little bit about that, because we all use a lot of similar nomenclature, but what is ethnic beauty? And then I'll tell you a quick story.
Okay. Well, the reason why I like to use ethnic beauty, because I have a Facebook page called Beauty Ethnica, because as the colloquial titles of natural hair, quote unquote natural hair, we are recognizing that the ethnicity of Afro textures range from infinity almost, from, you know, your very coarse coil textures. I'm talking about a menagerie, a very wide variety of ubiquitous curly textures that are so commonplace that most people on the planet have them. And that straight hair is actually a very rare occurrence.
So, I've never heard it quite described as you've just described it, a menagerie of curls. Wow. All
right. Right. They're stemming from just like, you know, you would get, I mean, it's as simple as water painting for kindergartners. I mean, you have your very dark skin to your dominant, most dominant, and then you have that curly pattern of that particular texture, and then all of the variations that come from that dominant expression, that very tight coil, and then every other, you know, variation. We're saying that it belongs to the ethnic world.
Right.
That is a common phenotype of an ethnic world. And that, you know, the other way or the other beauty standard at which most traditional cosmetologists, no matter where you are in the world, well, they are talking about, you know, using straight hair as a standard. And then, of course, it does not encompass or invite or it does not carry the profile of the ethnic world at the epicenter. We, in my term, and when I use it, Carrie, I'm talking about a more global textured family than the least one. So that's what I mean. Now I'm your story.
Okay. Cheryl Morrow, of course, shuts it down. Okay. Well, listen, I'm excited to talk with you. As you know, the last time we've chatted, and all of the listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show, they will recognize your voice immediately, because we have run your interviews here on this broadcast quite often. So they know every single thing. And what kind of plays in my mind, we did this extraordinary interview. And like today, we're going to get into a few things. And then one of the things that I have always wanted to catch back up with you, because we haven't had a chance to chat on air. We've talked many times off mic, but we haven't had a chance to get back in front of everybody with all these things that are kind of happening in the world right now. And the last time I think we chatted, it was after the whole Rachel Dolezal thing that you were kind enough to share. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That you were. What do you ever think about that whole thing anymore, or are you just? I mean, it was so eloquent how you put things.
Well, I think that the politics, the socio political context of how we try to place ourselves and talk about ourselves in a socio-political, racial mm-hmm. kind of conversation. You know, I don't really like to hear professors or the black elite talk about or intellectualize Rachel Dolezal's experience or Barack Obama's experience or any other racial person, because you don't know what it is to be, you know, whoever's talking about it at that particular time. You know, let's just say this, like Halle Berry's mother said, that did not make Halle a black girl. I would have probably placed her in harm's way, and I would have brought extra issues on my biracial daughter that she did not need to experience.
Wow.
So I decided to make her a black girl completely. That way that there was a definitive line drawn, and then I knew that though she would have certain issues inside of the culture of black folk, but she would be quite protected as well.
Wow.
More probably more protected than if I made her a white girl.
More tools for tackling overwhelm. Number one, use the word no. Number two, consult your calendar before you say yes. Number three, clear your mind. And number four, get organized by prioritizing your week's workload. One of the best tools for tackling overwhelm is learning how to say no. Just no. I'm not going to be able to help you with that. No explanation needed, because when you start giving people your whys for your no, it opens the door to a conversation you don't want to have about something you're not prepared to deal with. So just smile, look, and say, oh, thank you for thinking of me. But no, I'm not going to be able to help you with that today. Next one, consult your calendar. Your calendar is a great bad guy, because when somebody asks you to do something and it's going to increase your workload to the point that it makes you feel overwhelmed, what you can do is this. Glance over your calendar and you have two responses. You know what? I don't see any time there. I'm going to be able to work on that with you today. Sorry. Or, you know what? It's 9 o'clock right now. I've got a little bit of time between 2 and 2:10. If you come back at 2 o'clock, I can spend 10 minutes with you on that problem. A lot of times, if the person doesn't have until 2 o'clock, they'll go find somebody else to help them with that. Right? Love it. Number three, clearing your mind. Clearing your mind dictates, if you're not a person that's already doing meditation or you don't have any breathing exercises, just get up. Get up from your desk, get up from the sofa, go into the kitchen, make yourself a cup of coffee, walk out the door, walk around the block, just do something that will get you out of that space and give your mind a chance to reorganize itself and create space for you to solve a problem, be creative, or move on. Number four, organize by prioritizing your workload. A long list of 26 things on every single line on a sheet of legal paper is not really getting organized. What I suggest is get a sheet of paper, put Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and start taking the things off of that list and putting them in the day that they're due. Then go back and prioritize them, because a lot of times what we do is we make this long list of things and we just start tackling the first thing on the list. And unfortunately, the first thing is not always the most important thing. And that's why we miss deadlines. I missed a really fabulous party that was thrown by Matthew Jordan Smith, the photographer in Los Angeles, star-studded. So if you don't want to be me missing important things, consider these four ways of addressing overwhelm by number one, saying no, number 2, consulting your calendar. Number 3, clearing your mind. And number 4, getting organized by prayer.
You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show, the number one hair and beauty radio show worldwide, and the longest running hair and beauty radio show.
Everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Wow. Wow. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a bring up.
tell the folks who this is the first time they're hearing about Maya Vanna. Tell us about Maya Vanna, please.
Absolutely. And first, I must do like you, Carrie. I have to give a shout-out to our team. Shirley Dickinson is our global brand manager, and Sam is one of our partners. He's such a jewel in the industry. Anytime we get to have legacy of that nature is just such a blessing. And just to give you a little clarity, my name is Robin D. Groover, and I'm actually Chief Hair Officer of Maya Vanna. Candace Mitchell Harris is our fearless founder and CEO.
Oh, and okay. Yes, thank you
for
that.
We have, yes, absolutely. And she is amazing. I'm quite sure we're going to be able to get her on the show as well.
I remember purchasing my first set of Marcel irons through the Dudley Company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, this was years ago, and we're not going to count those years, but I remember that. And I still have those irons.
We're doing an article every week of Black History Month on black hair history. And so we sent out, it's one of 10, and we talk about the industry, how it started, where our hair came, you know, the whole gamut. And it's interesting because I'm learning by myself by researching it and going back and see. We got such a rich history, but nobody knows
we
the story. And we, you know, the thing about it, we don't put it all together. We take it in pieces. But it's such a
that's true.
It really is. You know, I'm so proud to be a part of industry, you know.
A big part of it, Sam. You're a big part of the industry. And I feel the same thing here at Hair Radio. You know, and like what Dr. Evans was saying earlier, being such an integral part for so long and so many years. And we've had a chance to work together on so many levels. Like everybody was saying, it's a small, I call it a small black hair community because on one hand, yes, we're driving those big numbers. We're over-indexing in terms of purchasing and even to some degree styling. But my big thing is, and that's not a bad thing, but my big thing is, you know, being able to recognize the legends, the folks like Mr. Dudley who, you know, I was reading somewhere back in it. It was like they had, I mean, I can't even tell you. I'm not even going to give numbers because it's staggering. But it's so much that we just have to say thank you to these folks. I can speak for myself as well on this. And I just, you know, I don't think we would have been as far at Hair Radio had there not been a Mr. Dudley. You know, when I would walk around at the shows, that's what I would stop and chat with all the folks, and also the Bronner brothers and everybody. They would be out there at the shows and doing their thing, and I know Bernard, one of the brothers, very well, and just the whole family, and this is what we're about. So, Sam, I want to say thank you because you have helped me to make those quite a few of the connections happen, and we support. So I think we're setting the what is it? What do they call? We're setting the example, Sam. So bobsa.org, you're doing it up, and you got great. And I love your website, and that you connect to so many things. And you, I love the directory. I love all that that you got going on. Keep doing what you're doing. You've been an industry leader and an industry champion, as far as I'm concerned. So Sam, how does that sound? And I'm waiting for my check on that. Well, it's like I get to wake up early and have a cup of coffee and breakfast with my favorite two folks in the whole wide world every day. That's Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins. And I'm Carrie Hines, right here on the All Know Hair Radio Morning Show. And you get to do the same thing. We start from 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 Central Time. Take the show all the way to 9 o'clock in the morning here in New York Live. Always make it a great day.
and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right. Thank you, Purple Barbie. It's Thursday morning, February 29th of 2024. Yes, I'm Gary Hines, and we've been doing it up this morning. It's our broadcast show number 961 en route to 1,000 shows. And I absolutely am ready to bring to the line someone you've gotten to know well. She actually holds the record here at Hair Radio, the Hair Radio Morning Show, by being our longest-serving co-host right alongside me right here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're talking about the queen of the mornings, the one and only Nicole Marie.
Good morning.
Well, happy mid-show.
Happy mid-show. Happy Thursday.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hey, Carrie,
all the above
say,
again.
All the above. I am. Thank you for that introduction. And let me say, I'm just so honored to be right here with you and work with you and Michael and our team.
Oh, thank
and
you.
I love it. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh.
I'm honored.
Oh, so deserving. Thank you. That's very kind. Now, we're doing it up. It's been, I call it a heavy music
I'm
day
loving
in rotation.
The show.
Yes, thank you. Me too. Yeah, we put on a few of the classic hits. This morning. We really did. I was like, okay, I must be really in a music mode. Music mode this morning. But yeah, today we've been doing it up. Yeah, thank you. I feel the same way. I think we kicked off with this has got to be one of the hours we've actually played the most music in a very long time.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it sounds
so
wonderful.
Great. Yeah, I think so, too. I absolutely think so. And we're just excited to have you guys with us on this Thursday morning. Yeah. Yes, Nicole Marie. Oh, I think we might have lost Nicole Marie. Yes. Oh,
I'm here.
There you go. Oh, okay. What did you say?
No, I was just saying thank you so much to all of our fans and listeners around the world for tuning in. We appreciate you so much. Thank you.
I love it. Absolutely. I can echo that sentiment. Michael will echo that sentiment in about 20 minutes right now at this very second. And we're doing it up this morning. We've got a lot really to unpack. We do every day. But today's a very big day here at Hair Radio. Of course, it's the wrap-up to Black History Month.
Black History Month.
Do that.
I love the
talk
this morning.
I think we went in on a Black History Talk today.
We did. I love it. Well,
yeah,
we celebrate
me too.
And every day. Just because it is the last day on the calendar month, it's not for us.
Yeah.
Because we continue every day to celebrate.
This is true. This is true. And speaking of the last day on the calendar month, you know, by it being February 29th, it literally is
leap day.
Yeah, which comes only every 4 years. And we are so honored because, remember, that's why they extended Black History Month into the first day of March, because of those years that you don't have the leap day. And we just love that we get to celebrate it today. And we wanted to give it its proper send-off. So we really did. I think we played Black music, special talk, all kind of stuff today that really resonated with us on so many levels.
I enjoyed every second of it.
Yeah. So listen, lots more to unpack today. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, in our spotlight hour, that's about 60 minutes from right now, we should be joined by a man who, you guys, he's been with us and charted more time than anybody else as a guest on the Hair Radio Morning Show. He comes to us from the political arena, but now he's in the private sector. Nicole Marie, who on earth are we talking about?
That's none other than Mr. Wayne Smith.
That's right. And Wayne, he was the mayor down in Irvington, New Jersey, which is a town a little bit outside of New York City, a crossover in New Jersey, for 12 years. And I've got to ask you, Nicole Marie, I know that I believe Wayne was your very first interview here on the Hair Radio
he
Morning
was.
Show. Way back.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit
That's
about
been
that
a while
experience.
Ago. Yes, it was wonderful. It was a wonder. I was so nervous. But it was wonderful because we just flew right on through that interview, and he made me so comfortable, and I was fine, and it was great. It was absolutely great. And Wayne is one of my favorite guests. I love it.
Yeah, he's
so
very
you do not
talented.
Want to miss Wayne today. Stay tuned in because you will definitely be educated on so much. You do not want to miss it.
This is true. Listen, I know you're going to get in with the hope of the day in just a bit.
Yes.
But first, I want to also, as we continue to wrap up Black History Month, we still got a lot more coverage coming in this very broadcast. On Friday's show. Yeah. Now, on Friday, we've got more special guests joining us. Of course, Dr. Bernard Evans. Comes back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. And next week we have some TV stars joining us for the first time. So
wonderful.
Real excited about that. Yeah. So always, yeah, you know, like you always say, Nicole Marie, you never know quite what you're going to get.
You never know. That's right.
The show.
So that's why you always have your pen and paper close to you to take some notes. You never know who you're going to hear or what you're going to hear.
Yes. And speaking of what you're going to hear and you never know, you don't know what you're going to see either. Like what we had a chance to see last year at IBS.
That's
the International
right.
Beauty
so true,
Show.
True.
Yes, in New York City.
That was
at the
phenomenal,
Jacob
Javis
Center.
Yes. The beautiful building. There were so many people, so many demonstrations, so many products. Whatever you need is right there. And you just learn
Absolutely.
So much. Just so
yes.
much new
well,
innovation and, you know, just so much.
It was. And my favorite part, Nicole Marie, I don't know if you remember this. This was at last year's IBS. And it was so much fun. Nicole Marie, you guys, and Mr. Luther, you guys flew in from Mississippi, right? All the way up to New York. And we just had such a blast. But
we had
I think my favorite part, when we got there and you guys and I we were walking around, and I was trying to take Nicole Marie's picture there inside the location. And I got my little expensive camera out trying to work it. And I don't know if you remember this, but there was a gentleman who walked up behind me and was teasing me with the camera. And I went
to remember
look.
That.
It was famed hair industry photographer Keston Duke. I said, boy, oh boy, do you remember that? I said, my gosh, I felt so lucky to know so many. Really?
Right.
I said, oh my gosh, I know so many people in the industry.
Yes, you do,
and
Carrie.
They know who I am. Many know who I am by face when we've always been on radio.
Right.
Well,
that's
it
wonderful,
was just nice. Yeah, we just had a nice time. And so this year, you guys have been hearing from Elizabeth Fantetti, who is the ED, the event director for the biggest trade show on hair and beauty in the country, which is the International Beauty Show, IBS New York, happening on March 3rd, 4th, and 5th, 2024 at the Jacob Javis Center. So I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Yes,
I know Siobhan's going to be there. I'll be there and so many other folks. And if
Wonderful.
You have not now, I told Elizabeth, which I so love, that she's given us a promo code to share with all of you guys. So if you have not bought your ticket, if you have not bought your ticket, you can use the promo code Hair Radio, and when you check out off the IBS website to purchase your ticket for the event. So we love that. You'll get 20% off. That's a big savings.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, it is.
Yeah, so definitely, again, IBS New York, you know, we just love it. And I can't wait. Now, they have the beauty side and hair and beauty, of course, but on the other side, they also have skin. So all the estheticians, that's where they are. And they have all these companies. I mean, it's ginormous.
It's ginormous.
When I come home that evening, I am flat out on my back. I'm like, sorry. I'm like, oh, my God. I can barely get up the steps after
that. The building is just huge.
You're gonna get your steps
in that day.
And you
don't really realize it.
No, you don't, because it's so exciting. It's so much excitement.
Right.
And that just reminds me, Nicole Marie, speaking of excitement, we are getting ready for Get Set Atlanta.
Get Set Atlanta.
Yeah.
Don't want to
miss
that.
I'm so excited about it. No, no.
Wait.
Oh, my gosh. We had such a great time. Siobhan and I flew down there 5 years ago to meet up with Eileen, who is the proprietor there. She has a wonderful space in what's called the farmer's market. But this is not like fruit and vegetables sitting outside. This is a big indoor space that, to me, reminds me of a beautiful supermarket. And all these folks are checking out with their food and groceries and things like that. And then right there facing the incredible health and wellness space that Eileen runs, where you can buy roots and herbs and all these things and vitamins and things like that. And on this day, Sunday, May 5th, many of you guys know it as Cinco de Mayo, so that's a great way to remember it. We'll be in Atlanta live and in person. So, Nicole Marie, get ready.
I'm ready.
We're going to be live and in person, yes. Everybody's talking about it. Folks are joining us. We're kicking it off with, well, first of all, let me just say it's free. So if I got to lead in with the word
free.
It's free to get in. It's not, you know, you could just come on in. It's free. However, we have VIP ticket sales available, and those cost about $49 each. You get $10 off if you use my promo code, which is FAN01, F-A-N. F like Frank, so that's FAN01. And I think it's going to be great. So
So
they're on Eventbrite. All the tickets, whether you're coming in for free or the VIP, you have to go to eventbrite.com, eventbrite.com, and get your tickets and all that stuff. So, Nicole Marie, I got to ask you, what's going on down there, down in your neck of the woods in Mississippi, and how's your community work coming along?
Things are going great here in Mississippi. Actually, this week, Carrie, spending a lot of time wrapping up Girl Scout cookies with my daughter. We're in our last week, so we're selling cookies.
How does that work? Are those the cookies? Does everybody in the whole organization sell? Because I've been seeing a lot of things online on social media with cookies.
Well, it depends on the region.
Which makes me want them even more.
For the most part, all of the cookies are the same. But for some regions in the United States, they do have a few cookies that may be different. It may be the same name, but the cookie is a kind of a different variation. But overall, they're the same. Yeah, especially like the lemon cookies. I've noticed that. The lemon cookies are a little different. Maybe packaged different or different. Yeah, the cookie is just different. It's still lemon cookie, but it's a little different. But
well,
yeah,
that's,
we are wrapping
up. I don't get that one, so I never will notice that.
Right.
My favorite are the Thin Mints, and I love the Thin Mints and the shortbread cookies.
Shortbread,
I those things all
love
the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't mention a little
people
bit of strawberry ice cream in addition to good.
Oh, yeah. Shortbread are the best with any kind of cookie.
It
so
really
good.
Is.
So
yeah. Well, I cannot wait. I'm so glad that we're doing our part, talking about community efforts. And what's happening on your, now, so your community board, well, not your board, you guys, you're an elected official down here. So what's going on? Are you guys working on any big projects that you can share and talk about?
Well, let me tell you, yes, we are. We just had, 3 weeks ago, we had a special election because our mayor, our previous mayor, actually was elected into another position with the county. So we now have, so we now have a new mayor, which is Mr. Tommy Reynolds, who was a state representative for 44 years, and he's now the mayor of Water Valley, and we're so pleased to have him. He is wonderful.
Oh, that is
awesome. And right now, just coming out the gate, we are working on our city polls and finding funding for that, and broadband, we're working on that, and also working on and trying to get a splash pad for the children by summertime. So we're already, we're already working right on, he's working right on out the gate.
I feel it. You guys
it's
are
wonderful.
Busy.
Yes,
and
we are.
I got to say, yes, and same thing with Michael Hopkins and his community input down there as an accredited claims agent. We're going to chat with him a little bit about that coming up in just a few minutes. But he is an accredited claims agent through the Veterans Administration, and we'll find out a little bit more about that and what he's working on as well. And then myself here in New York, of course, I'm a New York City public official appointed.
Yes, you are.
So, yes, I'm so grateful. And along with the board,
how are
we have
going with you in New York, Carrie.
It's going well. Well, in my little community is a constituency of over 200,000 persons, and we have quite an interesting demographic breakdown, and so very interesting things. But myself, I also serve on two committees, and I just want to take a moment to say how incredibly extraordinary these folks have been and to serve.
Wow.
It has been my greatest honor to be part of this. Didn't quite know what I was getting myself into when we kind of started all this, but let me tell you something. It has been a journey that I wouldn't ever, you know, just trade. I just love it. It has been remarkable to help the general public.
Until you're on the other side, Carrie, and you really see the things, the inner workings that go on. It's amazing.
Yes.
It's wonderful to be a part of that.
And that's an experience not everybody gets to have.
Exactly.
So
such an honor.
We really went in on that. So again, and I guess I better just make sure folks know when the Get Set Atlanta is. Again, it's May 5th, 2024. It'll be held in a wonderful, it's a little, I want to say it's like a little suburban area down there, but and all the information is on our website. We have it in several places. Three different ways you can really get the Get Set Atlanta details. The easiest is probably just to Google Get Set Atlanta. It'll pop right on up. Takes you right to the Eventbrite. You could just go to Eventbrite.com and look for it there, Get Set Atlanta. Or you could go to our AfroLockMagazine.com website. And again, AfroLock is spelled AfroLock. So that's AfroLockMagazine.com. But again, you get all the details. We already have an agenda that's set up from the moment you get there to the moment you leave. So we're doing it up.
Awesome.
Too. You don't want to miss that. Get your tickets, whether it's free or the VIP tickets, and we will be on our way. Nicole Marie, I just loved all of this talk today. Was there anything
wonderful
in the show? What did you enjoy the first hour? We heard you. It was just great. You were great. What did you think about the show so far, since we're at the halfway point now?
I am loving the show, Carrie. I'm just loving everything about it. Definitely love, you know, touching on Black history once again. You can never, we can never talk about it too much. And that was wonderful this morning. I also enjoyed just to talk about the industry leaders with Sam, talking about Maya Vanna, talking about Dudley, the Bronner brothers. I mean, I love it. I just love hearing about, you know, just the all the different people that make the hair industry what it is.
Absolutely. And
I
say hair history is our history.
That's it.
And we love it. We just love it. So listen, folks, we've been getting it in this morning on what's called the Hair Radio Morning Show on this leap day on February 29th. It comes only every 4 years, so we are just making it a very special broadcast. Coming up, a little over a half hour, Wayne Smith is here. We can't wait. So we're going
to
have a great
time. You do not want to miss it. Stay tuned.
No, exactly. Now, I've got to say, normally about this time of the day, we start talking about hope and hope. And
hope,
guess
hope.
What? Today is no exception.
Right.
There's a reason
today
we talk
and every
about
day.
Hope. Exactly. Because it's all about inspiration. It's about aspiration also. Because we want you to start your day. That's why we do it at 6 o'clock in the morning. And we're with you till you go through the door at 9 o'clock, or these days just sit down in the other room. So many folks work from home. But yeah, I think it's really great what we're doing. And just, and so much what you're doing, Nicole Marie. Now, here's the wonderful little intro that we've got for you. Take a listen.
Well, first of all, hope is important to each and every one of us because it gives our lives meaning. It's that belief that our future can be better than our past. So no matter what we may have been through, going to go through, there's always hope. Just that positive expectation that change can and will occur in all of our lives. So every day, I share an inspirational way from a book by Patrick Lindsay, and it's called High Hope.
All right, Nicole Marie, what's on tap for today? What hope is there?
The hope for today is read every day, fiction or nonfiction, book or tablet. It's not about the package, it's about the idea. Fiction will inspire, transport you, open your mind and heart. Great nonfiction will inform and broaden your world. Back to you, Carrie.
Oh, thank you, Nicole Marie. Wow, I love that. I live those words. I don't know how folks, there are a lot of folks who don't like to read every day. But for me, you know, I've always believed that reading takes you to places that you never thought you'd be able to go. And
so true.
I just love it. Yeah. And so I've grown up reading, and it's still there. I started on another book just recently. So I don't often get an opportunity to read nonfiction, but it's just fantastic when I do. So I'm usually reading business books and all of that, but I love it.
I do.
Yeah,
too.
Read every day. That's what Patrick's book says. Read every day.
Keep your mind active, Carrie. Love it.
Well, listen, I gotta say that, you know, it makes you sharper and keeps your mind, you know, where it needs to be. So, what about you? Are you a big time reader? Being in education, Nicole Marie.
I am. I love to read. I've always loved to read. When I was growing up, my mom was a teacher, so I have always been surrounded by all types of books. I read just anything, just a gamut of books. It doesn't matter what it is. And I read a lot and inform my students. My students have to read. They do reports for me, not even because it's part of the curriculum, but it's just because it's something that I feel is so very important, something that I add myself, that I require of them, because it's very important, very important.
Yeah, I agree.
I love
it. Well, I can't wait to hear what Brother Michael has to say, because I believe that he has to do a lot of reading with his line of work in terms
right.
of
sure.
being an accredited exchange agent. Well, let's find out. Michael Hopkins comes to us from the beautiful Spotsylvania,
beautiful.
Virginia. Good morning.
Virginia.
Good morning, Michael.
Oh, yes. Beautiful Virginia. Yes.
Yes, there you go. Happy Mitch Show, Brother Michael.
Yes.
So listen.
Happy Mitch Show.
Yes, now I don't know if you heard, but we were just talking about this, and this is about reading. Do you enjoy reading, Michael Hopkins, and how does that help you or not help you? How does that help you with your work?
Oh, yes. Reading is my friend, because especially in the type of work that I do with the claims and compensation, you constantly have to read. Yeah, for comprehension, new things come out. So it's a constant thing. But to me, it's a labor of love, because I'm like Nicole Marie. I and yourself, I enjoy reading. I don't see it as a chore. I just see it as an educational process. And that's what I love about reading. The more and more that I read about things, I start to master things. I start to get a greater understanding. And it just helps a lot. Always been
wow.
that way ever since I've been a little kid. That's the way I've been. Me and books have been friends.
All right.
Well, doesn't
wonderful.
That kind of make you smarter when you read, right? Doesn't it?
Yeah,
kind of
yeah very
smarter,
much so.
Always increasing your knowledge.
Yes,
always.
Very much
yeah.
so.
It gets no better than that. And it's not, I always tease about it that it is the cheapest way to travel.
Very
really
much so.
Is. All right. Well, listen, I'm so excited. Now, I've got to remind everybody, Nicole Marie Michael Hopkins, I'm so grateful to have you. Great job, Nicole Marie, on The Hope of the Day. We always
very
take a
much
music
so.
Break, and we are throwing it back, way back, with the singer that you're going to love. If you don't remember, her name was Tyler Collins. She's still out there. But this is going back to some early days where she was celebrating ladies with Girls Night Out. So we're
hey,
going to go there,
it.
And we're doing it up, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. More Michael.
Change my mind. Well, it's like I get to wake up early and have a cup of coffee and breakfast with my favorite two folks in the whole wide world every day. That's Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins, and I'm Carrie Hines right here on the All Know Here Radio Morning Show. And you get to do the same thing. We start from 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 Central Time. Take the show all the way to 9 o'clock in the morning here in New York Live. Always make it a great day.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
My very special guest joining us today, you guys know her. She's been with us before. She is the director of the International Beauty Show, IBS, New York. So we are so excited to welcome back to the broadcast Elizabeth Vantetti. Good morning, officially. Good morning.
Right. Yeah, you have your cup of coffee in hand. You're ready to go for the day?
I do. You know me well. Well, listen, I am so excited. Like everybody out there, you know, who goes to the, you know, IBS show, we're just thrilled and just counting down a minute until this show starts for 2024. So I've got to say, tell us what can we expect to see this year, Elizabeth?
A great, great question, Carrie. Well, the show is coming up March 3rd through 5th. It's at Javits in the heart of New York City. And yes, what I'm really excited about this year is that we are leaning into one of our campaigns, which is the Say Yes to You campaign. And it's really all about the licensed professional, right? We want them to come to Javits and just be loved on. We want to revitalize. We want to refresh, rejuvenate, energize, and just give those licensed professionals the skills, tools, education, networking opportunities to really, take it back into their business and just be the rock stars that they are. So one of the things that's new this year is we will have a Say Yes to You hub, which will be a place that we're providing some really interesting education. It's all about their well-being, right? Sunday we're going to offer free headshots. We're going to have chair massages in that space. And then on Monday, Tuesday, we're going to be doing some content that will be on mental health and gut health and emotional intelligence and meditation. And this will all be in one specific area on the IBS show floor. We've got our ambassadors, which are Jenny and David from Industry Aligned. They're going to be there to kind of show the professionals, like, how do they use their body appropriately? You know, when you're cutting hair or you're hoovering over nails, you know, there's so much achiness that happens with your feet and your legs and your back and your neck.
Exactly.
And
that's,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so we want to be Absolutely. Able to show them, you know, how do you position your body? So you're strengthening your body and not hurting your body. So that's kind of something fun. But then we've also got, you know, some great education, Carrie. We've got the Powerhouse Pavilion is coming back for its second year. We've got the What's New for You Zone. Yay! We've got industry icons. So there's lots going on.
Well, it sounds like it. And we'll be in the house with the Hair Radio Morning Show, of course, to cover
Yay!
As we always do. Yes, we look so forward to it. And I've got to say, you know, you're always connecting industry legends with new folks out there in the industry, and, you know, and you're big on education and all of that. And I just say, for me, it's always exciting. It really is. I bump into folks that, you know, I get to see, and some, you know, we haven't seen in a while, and all of that.
Yeah.
So this is just a very special time for us, you know, in this business. So I'm looking forward to it.
It is. And it's, you know, we lean into that education. You know, education is so, so important.
Yeah.
And with, you know, there's over 100 sessions that are, and most of them are free with that admission to the show floor. So we've got texture and curly hair training, which is, you know, hot, hot, hot. We've got business education, how to attract more clients, how to enforce business policy, which I think is huge. I mean, so many of these chat groups where, you know, the customers aren't always so nice to our licensed professionals, right? So how do you best deal with no-shows? How do you get those, you know, address those bad online reviews? There's just so many, you know, nuggets of information that you can pick up on the trade show floor. And we've got hands-on workshops. We've got master classes. And you mentioned, you know, the educators going. We've got Sam Villa, we've got Roger Molina, Monet Everett, Kia Neal, Lupe Voss, Barbie Patel. I mean, it just, Jay Ladner goes on
amazing.
And on and on. Yeah.
Yes, this is
super
so
excited
now,
by the show.
As you should be, again, if you guys are just joining us, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines, now my guest today again, the biggest show in the country. I'm going to go ahead and just put it on out there. I just love IBS, IBS New York, of course, the International Beauty Show at the Jacob Javits Center. So we're talking about amazing exhibitions and, you know, just a lot going on. For me, I love to walk around and just take it all in. I really do. I literally walk the floor and stop and drop by everybody's little area. It's just a lot of fun. It really is. So March 3rd, 4th, and 5th of 2024. So this is these are the dates. We want you guys there. And again, this is really important. I was to say yes to you. I don't. That's got to be new this year.
That, you know, we started that campaign last year, and we love it. It's all about our attendees, and again, those refreshing that licensed professional. And I have to be honest, Carrie, we struggled a little bit with, like, well, how do we bring that to life? What do we do? What does that mean? Because the show is there's a lot going on. And
yes.
So I'm super excited by just this, the hub area and what we've got programmed in that space. And, you know, we've also got the Look and Learn stage that's programmed with some really strong presenters. We'll have Gordon Miller that'll be talking about the future of the beauty pro or pro beauty.
Wow.
And because that's, you know, we're shifting industry. You know, there's so much that's going, you know, direct to consumer, and, you know, how does the professional continue to suggest retail and make sure that the clients are using the products that are best for their hair,
right,
skin, and nails.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, we've got Sam Villa that's going to be doing some trend-setting foundations. We've got the group from Hairbrained Live that will be on stage. The attendee will walk away with lots of fresh new information.
Speaking of which, one of the other big, one of the other big reasons that we all look forward to coming out to IBS New York is that you get such amazing products and you have such access to, you know, they give such, I'm just going to put it out there, discounts and free gifts and all of that. They really do. So it's just, you just feel, it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling and just so connected to an important, industry. So we just love it. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great point, Carrie. There's so many wonderful brands that are right there on the show floor, you know, looking to educate you, looking to provide you with some, you know, just that foundation on their products and how do you bring them to life with your customers. And, you know, just a shout out to, you know, Chi by Farouk and Olaplex and Andis and Hattori Hanzo Shears and Hot Tools and, you know, Hola Couture Extensions and Sunlight Spa Lodge, Product Club. We've got just the whole array of products and knowledge.
I love it. And we always have I was just going to say, we always have Chi on the show. Yes. So shout them out at Farouk. Amazing.
Such a great group. And, you know, just so
inspirational,
right? When you're sitting in the audience and it's all about the craft that, you know, the licensed professional went to school to get this license, and they need to be proud and they get to, you know, see what's possible, what they can do in their care as well. So
well, I love
we
that
do
you,
also have,
I love, yes. What, go ahead, tell us.
No.
What else
I was
you
just saying, that's just too much to talk about. We've got a What's New for You area also, which is some of these smaller companies that have never exhibited at IBS before. And so this is their first time at the show.
Wow.
And so I hope your audience will come and stop by these companies because, you know, they're looking to connect with our audience as well.
And we're going to have that, as we always do, with our long partnership at the Hair Radio Morning Show with IBS New York. We're always excited to feature especially a lot of the, you know, what do they call it, those brands that are just kind of on their way up. and are really mm-hmm. pushing themselves out there. They've taken the big step, and that's by coming and being part of the IBS show. And so we are super excited. We're happy to honor that and have them on the show as well. So make sure to send them this way.
Always. I will. That's so lovely of you. So lovely of you to offer that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So IBS. Okay. Well, I was just going to tell everybody, just a reminder, March 3rd, 4th, and 5th, 2024. Again, I'm super excited. That's IBS New York. That's at the Jacob Javits Exhibition Center. It's huge here in New York City. Everybody knows where the Jacob Javits Center is. And I've just got to say we're super excited to be talking today with the director. Elizabeth, you are really the person behind all of this. How do you keep all of this, you know, how do you balance it all? If I could just take a moment to ask you about that. How do you balance all this with home life and everything else that you're doing?
Great question.
That's amazing.
You know what? I'm so blessed to work with a group of professionals that are, you know, they take pride in their piece of the pie. It's definitely a team effort to bring this show to life. And, you know, not only do we have the beauty side, but we also have the spa side as well. So when attendees, come to the show, they're able to walk both sides of the show floor. But it is definitely a team effort, and I'm so blessed to work with the individuals that are on that team.
And I got to shout them out because I love every year interacting with them. I absolutely do. And even throughout the week, throughout the year, I think I still bug you, Elizabeth.
I always love hearing from you, Carrie.
Thank you. Yeah. We just appreciate you so much. So listen, folks, I just want to say, please come out and support. You got to. What is the easiest way for folks? It's not too late. The professionals can still, get the tickets and be part of this. What would you tell them to do in order to do that?
Yeah, great question, Carrie. I would just
Thank
go
you.
Ahead and jump on those websites, International
yes.
Beauty Show or IBS New York or IECSBNewYork.com, and they can register online, or they can just show up at Javits and purchase a ticket right there on site. But know that you're going to get a little bit better value if you purchase your ticket before the actual day of the show. But I do want to share that we are going to extend a promotion to your Hair Radio listeners.
Oh,
and
wow.
The first 50 listeners that jump on and buy tickets with the promo code Hair Radio, we'll give them 20% off their admission.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so the promo code is Hair Radio. They go to the website, and that's the first 50, and they get a 20% discount.
20% discount. Absolutely.
That is huge. Oh, my gosh. Well, I have to thank you for that. Okay? And I have some folks, and here's the thing, a lot of them have already purchased their tickets because we've been talking about the show for a while, so we've been really – my friends are going to call me up now. So, yeah, so listen, it's not too late for you guys out there. But, yeah, I have had a few because we've always, you know, I talk about IBS all the time. So
have them grab a friend and
and maybe they can
enjoy the discount together. But. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Love to see them on the show floor.
Awesome. Well, listen, we thank you. We thank you so much for doing all that you're doing. You are an industry beacon of light, and it's so very much needed. And I love that you're addressing a lot of other things. There's so much with emotional wellness for the professionals, and I love to see that addressed there as well. So good job, and come on out March 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Again, IBS New York. Our special guest, Elizabeth Fantatti, our friend at the IBS New York show. So we'll see you then. Elizabeth, anything you want to shout out? Anybody you want to shout out to this morning on the show before we send you off?
You know, I just want to say a huge thank you to you for being one of our biggest cheerleaders. And what? Positive affirmations to all of those licensed professionals out there that rock it every single day and make a positive impact on so many people. So, it's all about them. It's all about you guys listening, and we love you, and we believe in you, and we are here to help support you as a small business owner. So,
thank you. We love you back. Thanks so much. Awesome. All right, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for being with us. Elizabeth Fantatti again, IBS New York. All right. Okay, folks, you got it. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We've got a whole lot more to unpack. Stay with us. We'll be back. It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
And I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
I thought about it. I was like, it would be easy.
here. Nope, nope, they're not ready.
You may not be looking for the promised land. Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hinds is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Keri Hinds.
All right, happy Thursday. We are back live. Thursday, February 29, 2024. Let me get it right. It's our broadcast number 961. I have to take a pause on that. 961 as we march to 1,000 3-hour episodes coming up and beyond. So very, very soon. Hey, I got to bring to the line our amazing good friend to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I think he has logged in more hours right here on the broadcast, being a great political aficionado and someone also out there in the business sector doing great things, helping other folks out there with great business ideas and so much more. It is my great pleasure and honor to bring back the former mayor from Irvington, New Jersey, right outside of New York City, served for 12 years as mayor, just done an amazing job, and we just appreciate his commentary so much here. We had to bring him back as we wrap up Black History Month right here on this Thursday morning. So, Wayne Smith. I mean, have you not done, Wayne? It's great. Welcome back. Welcome back.
My pleasure,
sir.
As always. My pleasure as always.
Yes. Well, listen, Michael Hopkins will be joining us in the next segment. So he's standing by, getting ready for you. So, listen,
right.
I got to just say, Wayne, again, this is big to have you here. And I always knew, I said, either Wayne is going to start our amazing Black History coverage right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, or we're going to ask if he can close us out with our Black History coverage right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show and how important Black History Month is. So first, Wayne, again, welcome, big time welcome to the broadcast. And what did Black History Month, what does it mean to you, sir?
Oh, listen, it's critically important. You know, most of us know that it was started by Carter G. Woodson. And I think the genesis of it was was Negro History Week. And then it evolved into a whole month. But I would always say this, we make Black History every day. And we ought to make it a challenge to make sure we check in on our history, not only in the month of February where we do a special tribute, but throughout the course of the year. And they are in this battle of ideas in America right now. People are trying to negate our history. But then there are some educators and religious institutions are making sure, whether it's in Florida or other places, that the true Black history is taught. And so it's critically important. They say people cannot know its future unless they know its past. And so I would encourage all of us. And you don't have to be in a formal institution to study Black history. You can pick up a book. You can go to the library. You can do. Or you can go online. Whatever your mode of research and you're feeling comfortable with. There's so many modalities now that you can get Black history, and it's at your fingertip with the advent of all the technology we have available to us today.
Absolutely, and we know the big G, Google, is our best friend for that, or any of those search engines online.
Absolutely.
Now, Wayne, I also have to talk about this. Speaking of Black history, and I told you this before we went on mic today, Wayne Smith, you are legendary in the state of New Jersey. You were mayor for 12 years down in Irvington, New Jersey. I lived in Irvington, so it's a place I'm very familiar with. And so to me, you know, and like I said, one of the big reasons we wanted you here to help put a book in to this incredible celebration this month. And I just appreciate you being here. So you are, just like I said, you are Black history, Wayne Smith. You are. How does it feel when you hear stuff like that, Wayne? We so appreciate your support, and just you're just a stellar. So yeah. Thank you. What goes through your mind?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You never know, you know, sometimes that's why it's always it's very important to expose young people to our history, because it opens up their mind. So as a young kid growing up in Newark, New Jersey, if people know me being the mayor of Irvington for so long, they forget that I'm really born and raised in the city of Newark. And
wow.
Newark is where we had our first African-American mayor on the Northeast to lead a big city. And that person was the late Kenneth Allen Gibson. That was in 1970.
I remember.
That was a classic time in American history, because Newark was, Newark had made some major metamorphosis. So during the 1960s, we lived through Newark and many other major cities around the United States had their, we called them rebellions. Some people call them riots, and they were hot summers and all of that. And Newark had lived through that in the 60s as well. They had a corrupt regime in the city hall. A guy by the name of Hugh J. Adonisio got arrested. Ken Gibson had run for mayor in 1966. And he did very well. That was a miracle in 1966 for a Black man to run for mayor. But Ken was an engineer by professional training. And he was very methodical. Mm. He was a planner.
Very
so
smart.
He ran in 66. He had, you know, what happens is in politics, people usually don't win their first time out. They usually have to get themselves established as literally a brand. Oh, wow, that's like an introduction. You have to get out there, run, share
that's
your
right.
ideas. And people say, oh, wow, this guy, he ran before. I know a little bit more about him. I've watched his history. Yeah, I know who he is.
Exactly.
And it was usually the second time. They may win. So Ken ran in 66. He had to establish in our people's mind that a Black man could even run for mayor at those tumultuous times. And so Ken got elected mayor in 19. It was a big deal. Jesse Jackson came into Newark. Many celebrities came into Newark. Amiri Baraka, the late revolutionary and poet and arts guy.
The current mayor's father, right?
The current mayor. And they again shows the importance of Black history. Had it not been for Amiri Baraka, was a very instrumental in the election of Ken Gibson, I would imagine his son wouldn't be mayor today, because his son grew up with that rich tradition of struggle and trying to better the community and so forth. So Raz J. Baraka ran for mayor, got elected as well. So he's now the current mayor, and he's doing something. He announced just the other day that he's running for governor next year.
I heard. So, we are first, and he's, you know, my dear brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, you know, he's a big, big fan and friend of his as well. I heard this. How do you feel it's getting a little crowded, I believe, with the field of folks, but what's your take on his running for governor? Let me ask you that, Wayne Smith.
Well, no, so I believe, Coach, this is just side commentary. I believe in every major race, somebody from the Black community that's credible should enter that race, because oft times our issues, particularly today, with the attack on affirmative action and just a whole host of things, the Voting Rights Act, all that, that we have to be in it in order to leverage our political power. So I think it's a good move. New Jersey has not had, it's a very entrenched Democratic state. And so the political machines really kind of rule the state. So Raz is stepping out. Now, here's the other thing about Black history. He's not the first Black to run for governor in New Jersey. People forget Mayor Gibson.
No.
Mayor Gibson, after serving a number of terms, decided to run for governor himself. He ran for governor. Oh. Ken ran for governor. And he did quite well in the Democratic primary. I think he placed third. And so it's been some evolution in New Jersey during that time. So usually there were pockets of the Black community in New Jersey when Ken ran for governor. So his base would have to be Newark, of course, because he was the mayor of the city. And then you had the surrounding towns like Irvington, East Orange, and Orange that were predominantly in Ken's time, they were not predominantly Black as he was rolling out, but they were becoming more and more Black. And now under Raz's time, they're all predominantly Black, but now we have a large emerging Black middle and upper middle class that have moved into Maplewood, South Orange, West Orange. Montclair always had a Black community, and then there are pockets around the states where the Black community has grown as well. So the demographics, Raz J. Baraka can certainly win because even though we're only 13% of the population in the state of New Jersey, we still have a very significant base in Democratic voters. So a primary is a doable thing. Now the challenge will be if you can get past a primary, how do you win a general election? Now, interesting thing about
two different animals.
But there's been a Black who's won statewide and is currently holding office, and that person is Cory Booker. Cory Booker is the United States Senator in New Jersey. So
did he take over for the fellow that? And I saw, was it Frank Lautenberg?
Frank Lautenberg died. Frank Lautenberg died. And so, it was Robert Menendez who replaced Lautenberg. Robert Menendez is now, as all the press knows, is under siege, illegally. So he won't survive that. And his son is also, so it's interesting because the dynamics of politics has shifted a great deal. When Ken Gibson started as mayor, one of the things that he did, it wasn't just a Black community thing when he got elected mayor, because there was a large Latino community.
Mm.
And people forget there are also Afro-Latinos as well. Ken was able to put together what they call a Black and Latino convention that was orchestrated by Mayor Baraka's father, because he understood that the issues are very similar, though there are other challenges with language and customs and traditions with the Latino community. But poverty, miseducation, all that are common in urban centers. So we have to unite Black and brown communities to kind of move the best. So they created that. And So in New Jersey, though New Jersey has its challenges around race, and we'll talk about that in a minute, we're one of the few states that had a Black and a Latino in the United States Senate at the same time. Menendez is Cuban. Cory Booker is African American. So it shows the potential of candidates, who have what it takes can get through that process. So certainly it's doable. I think Mayor Baraka has a lot of work to do, and I think he's young enough and aggressive enough to meet that challenge. The only thing I will say is, we have to excite the people. And I think part of, part of what has to happen is when you get a candidate for the first time that is making a major challenge, you have to get what I call like an Obama-like vote. When President Obama ran, there were so many people who had never voted before who stepped up to the plate, and some of them people have never come back again. I was talking to someone.
Wow, Wayne.
I spent a lot of time in the DMV, and I was having a conversation in Maryland, and so I was talking to a young lady in the store. We just in the store. We just
and the DMV again for you guys outside the area, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, Northern Virginia,
area. Absolutely,
right.
I call it Michael Hopkins country.
Oh, yeah, he'll be on the scene. He's going to let us have it. Michael, I know you're listening out there.
Yeah,
joining us with that convo.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was talking to a young lady in Maryland, and so she was, you know, there's a Baltimore, Maryland mayor's race. A young man, Byron Scott, is the mayor of Baltimore. So one of his opponents in this election is a young lady who served when I was mayor. In fact, we chaired a committee together in the U.S. Conference of Mayors on prisoner reentry. And so she was complaining about the current mayor. Da da da. So she said, you know, I don't know who to vote for. I haven't voted since Obama. And so though that's anecdotal, there are many people, particularly some of our younger people, who were so excited about seeing a black man run for president of the United States that some of them came out, but some of them have never came back to the polls again.
I get the, you know, the inspirational part of this, and that you want to see if, you know, you could propel a man of color to the highest office in the world. But I also, it's kind of sad to think that, although I kind of can understand to a little bit of a degree.
Yeah, understand
but
that motivation, absolutely.
Yeah.
So if we can get people motivated.
But we are so civic-minded. Yeah.
Right. If we could get people as engaged. You got adults that only vote in the presidential election. And so when the gubernatorial races come up, or the state legislature comes up, or
the
judges come
bother.
Up, they don't participate. So, you know, we have to, you know, my hope and prayer is that people participate in every election and they get informed about who the candidates are.
So big. Yeah, that's so big because if the local folks underestimate the local power that's at play and how it affects you, to me, you know, more immediately, more impactful to me to a big degree. So why would you skip this where you're just not being represented as much as you would be?
So school board elections, all that. You want a better quality of schools. You have to get engaged. And a lot of places have elected school boards. And you have to participate in those elections. And so, you know, we are always fighting for the rights for blacks to have equal education. But one of the places that you do that is you have to participate at the ballot box. And so it is, part of the hope that we come out of black history. If you look at our struggle, the electoral politics always had a place to play in it. It's not the be-all and end-all, but it's certainly a very important part of our struggle to advance the interests of the black community here in America. So, you know, so Raz being in that race is really important. It could be, obviously, history set. And so you talk about the DMV, and we talk about black history. We only have one black governor in the entire United States, and that's Governor Wes Moore in Maryland. Out of 50 states, we have one black governor, and he's in Maryland. And I would say that, you know, we talk about black history. If you look at Maryland, it's probably a significant reason why. If you look at the number of historically black colleges in the DMV, in Washington with Howard University, but the number of black colleges you have in Maryland, so you have a strong professional class who's engaged, who, you know, comes out to vote. You have a solid black middle class. Prince George's County in Maryland is probably
PG.
the highest per capita income of blacks in the United States. And then you have all of the blacks who work in federal government. A lot of them, though they some live in D.C., there are a lot of them who live in Maryland and Virginia, so they're very much engaged in the process. So in a place like Maryland, you can elect a black governor, and they've done that, and there's a great possibility that they'll elect a United States senator. The Prince George's County executive, Angela Also Brooks, is also running for the United States Senate, and I think that primary is in May of this year. So you could have – there's no blacks in the United States Senate right now. Kamala Harris was the last one there, and she became vice president of the United States. So not only is there, you know, no black women, there are no blacks, period, in the United States. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Cory Booker's there. But there's no black women,
yeah,
I think,
true.
In the United States Senate. Yeah. So, you know, she's looking to make history by representing Maryland as a United States senator. It looks like she has a good shot. She does have a major opponent in David Trone, who's spending a tremendous amount of money, rich, wealthy businessman, served in Congress. He's well-respected in Maryland. And from what I hear and see, he's all over the airwaves, and Angela is kind of just getting started with her commercials and so forth as well. So, you know, there's a lot of black history being made right now as we speak.
That's right. We're living black history, as I say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
But so I raised the Ken Gibson example as a young man. I saw a black man become mayor of the city I was born and raised in. And so it was a very interesting part of that inspired me to kind of take a look at politics a little bit more. I remember walking down, we lived on one time, because we lived all over Newark, we moved quite frequently, struggling family. But I lived on 10th Street at the time, and I think I was just either preteen or maybe 13 or something. No, preteen. I think it was 12 or 11. And I remember walking down 10th Street, and Ken Gibson had these offices that were like, he had a thing called the Kenneth Allen Gibson Civic Association in a neighborhood. So if you needed help with anything, you could go to one of Ken's offices and get help.
This is in Newark, New Jersey.
So one day I was walking down the street with my friends, and the guy asked us to say, hey, can you give out these flyers in the neighborhood? So, of course, my friends were a little smart, Alex. They were like, oh, no, we ain't got time for that. So, of course, you know, succumbing to peer pressure a little bit, I went off the street with him, but then I came back and told the guy I would give the flyers out. So I went around the neighborhood and gave the flyers out, and, you know, I told him, hey, I finished giving everything out. I covered these blocks. He said, great. See, I didn't tell you guys I was going to pay you. And I forget, it's like $25 or something. So I said, oh, well, thank you. He said, stay in touch with me. You know, summer's coming up. I can help you get a summer job, you know, as a teenager, preteen. I said, okay, I think I was about to turn 13. So when the summer came, he said, so I'll take you to your parents, fill the stuff. I did, and got a summer job. So I said, wow, there's something to this government and politics stuff, that there's resources available around it. And so when I went to college, I got involved with the Black Student Organization and became one of the representatives. And then, of course, the black students had to have somebody on the student government. And so I got engaged in the student government. And that's where I began to really look at how resources are allocated in this country, because the student government got a chance to, you know, get – you know, it's interesting, on a college campus, they have in your bill, you have these things called student activity fees. And so every student pays a fee, but they support the local, the organizations that are on campus for students. It could be student government, it could be the Black Student Union, all that. All the organizations get an allocation from those student activity fees to support their activities. So I got involved with student government. And, of course, you know, my parents didn't have a lot of money, so I went to college on under a program called the Equal Opportunity Fund, EOF. And the program was designed for students who were may have had some academic challenges or financial challenges. I was always pretty decent in school, so I didn't have really real academic challenges, but I had financial challenges. So they helped you get through school through the EL program. And then you also got an early entrance in because you went before during the summer because you got some extra classes and so forth. So that's where my real spurt. So after I went to a little college in New Jersey called Bloomfield College, which is now part of Montclair State University. It's now part of Montclair State University. And I studied accounting and political science. And when I started my professional career, I started in the insurance industry. It was an interesting industry.
No, Wayne, really?
I spent a major part of my professional life up until very recent, in fact. And so it's a very interesting thing. When you talk about history, the various opportunities that exist in this country that sometimes people overlook, and insurance was one of them. So, I needed to make money when I got out of school. So, the insurance was recruiting. So, I went with this very small company called Progressive Life Insurance. I did very well. And what happened is I ran into a guy, and people don't remember this. There used to be a time when the insurance man came to your house. Not only did he come to your house to write your life insurance, but he came to collect the money. And so that's what we did.
You know, I think I remember those days. I'm going to raise my hand up on that one.
Wow.
You're going back, though, Wayne Smith. You are going back, my friend.
And I did that. You know what? Sometimes that was the first professional we dealt with in our homes, in our household, depending on your neighborhood. And so
and
we
you
would
were
see the insurance
always
guy.
In a suit when you went out there.
Absolutely. You came to folks' houses.
Wow.
You collected the premium every month, and you earned a percentage of your collections and, of course, any new business that you brought in from insuring lives. I did very well in that for a couple of years. And, I was really learning business and stuff. So it was interesting. I ran into an African-American gentleman who was in the insurance business, and he was also a stockbroker. He was more of a financial planner before the term became popular. And he said, you're pretty sharp. I want to introduce you to a higher, a different line of insurance. And, you're doing well over there, but I can teach you how to make even more money. And so one of the things he did do was, so we went after a higher income clientele with him. His name was John White. He's now deceased. But John taught me business in a way, and I've always been very blessed to be around black business people to see. I worked in a black-owned restaurants. My mother was a cook. She worked for a lady who was the what's the place? And she was the Sylvia's of Newark, Miss Stewart. And so Miss Stewart did very well. My mother was a cook. My mother cooked for her. And I was the bus boy on Saturdays when I was like 6, 7, and 8, and she paid me well. I would go on Saturdays and Sundays to work with my mother. But I saw black people run businesses. And then when I was a teenager, I ended up working for, there's a brand called Steak and Takes, and I helped manage some Steak and Takes when I was a young teenager all the way up. Yeah, and two college. I always had that fortunate opportunity to run into black business people who became sort of like mentors and taught me stuff. So John got me engaged in a whole different line of insurance. So one of the areas that I became adept at is that he introduced me to what they call group life and health insurance, which means you insure companies and their employee benefits. So that was a whole different market for me, and I did well with that. I represented a company that he, as a broker, he represented a bunch of companies, but Guardian was the one. So this is how I really got engaged more on the business side of government and politics. So one of the strategies they told you, if you're in business, get involved with the local political scene. You'll meet the people that are movers and shakers in your community. So if you're in that business, they also have the ability to influence contracts that may come your way. So I did some of that. I started volunteering to be on boards and different things. And so I end up And I have another historical fact I just shared with you, but I end up having the insurance for, like, you remember, there's a program, federal program that still exists today called Head Start. Well, in our area,
yeah,
I had the contracts for East Orange, Head Start. Now, this is a very interesting story. I met the late Sheila Oliver, who was just the lieutenant governor.
Not all
she
that
was running. She's the deceased lieutenant governor of the state of New Jersey. When she was running an agency called the Leaguers. The Leaguers was a major youth development program in Newark at that time, but they also now expanded it to probably the largest Head Start program in Essex County, New Jersey, and Union County, New Jersey. But Sheila was the executive director of the Leaguers. And so she didn't know me from a can of paint when I came in there to pitch to let me get an opportunity to see if I could save her some money on her group benefits and so forth and so on. And that's how I got a chance to know her before I was even mayor and all of that, councilman and all that. So she gave me an opportunity to quote the benefits program for the Leaguers, and I got the contract. So, you know, it's those things that shows you, you know, where people are early in their careers. And then, of course, from that process, having served on a number of boards, United Community Corporation and others, people, you know, I bought a house at a very young age in Irvington, moved my mother and them into the house. It was a two-family home. And then I got involved locally with the Irvington community, and then a young man I had known, you know, just from socializing, but I always told him he was going to be the mayor of Irvington. He was a Seton Hall graduate. He was very active. He was like a young school board member. He had become the business administrator of the city. His name was Mike Steele, and Mike became the first. He was the first African American mayor in the township of Irvington, New Jersey. I became his confidential assistant, which is the equivalent to a chief of staff. We helped him in his campaign. We helped him get elected. And my premonition that he would one day mayor came true. And I got a chance to work in his administration, which took me to another level. But one of the things I asked him when he became mayor, I said, listen, I have some business activity. It won't interfere with me working for you, but I just don't want to have to give them up. So I always kept my insurance operation and stuff going. And so Mike served for 4 years, and then he didn't get reelected. And a woman by the name of Sarah Bose won the election. And
I remember that.
Yeah. So I went back to focus on business because his administration had ended. And within a two-year period, some of the city leaders came to me and said, you should try to run for city council. There's going to be a vacancy. One of the council members, the guy by the name of Pat McNally, is going to be the county clerk, which was a bigger position. So that seat is going to be vacant. So I said, okay. So I learned a lot working for Mike. I brought some friends together. I said, if you run for public office, you got to have some money. Can we see if we can raise some money? So we did a fundraiser, and then other people decided to run, and of course we won the election hands down. So I got on the city council in 1996 for a two-year unexpired term. I got reelected in 98 to a four-year term, and then when I got elected to the four-year term, my colleagues picked me as the president of the city council, and from 98 to 2002, and then the current mayor was Sarah Bowles. She had got some legal problems, so she couldn't run for reelection. And so I was the council president, so I looked like the heir apparent. But nothing is ever easy. So a state assemblyman named Craig Stanley, the great guy, Craig had been active. He wanted to be mayor as well. At that time in New Jersey, you could hold dual offices. You could be a mayor and assemblyman or a state senator. So in one time, you can no longer do that. They banned it, but at that time you could. And so his uncle was the late, great Congressman Donald Payne. and they had a political machine. So he entered the race against me and for the office, I should say. And, of course, they brought in people like Maxine Waters, the campaign and all that, but I still held on to win. And so I won my first term, you know, second and third term. So, you know, so that's kind of like, you know, emerging. So all the while, my insurance operation had morphed into several things over the years. So in my younger years, I was always a partner in some kind of firm. So we did concerts and all kinds of stuff. My partner represented, he was a boxing promoter. Qasim Akbar was my best friend. We were friends from 3 years old. And so we did, remember Closed Circuit TV, where we did Closed Circuit TV fights with Sugar Ray Leonard and all those kind of folks at different venues.
Wow.
We did, my other associate, Quadri Alameen, who ended up managing Boys to Men, we did all kinds of concerts and shows and so for the years in the greater Newark and New Jersey area. So I had developed, so a lot of those people I had developed insurance relationships with, but then they asked me for other kinds of consulting advice. So Wayne Smith and Associates evolved into a kind of a marketing PR. And of course, since I had all this experience in government, into a government affairs show. So that brings us kind of up to today. And so one of the two projects I'm working on now, Carrie, that I think have some historical import is that
I can't wait to hear. Wow.
Yeah. One of them is I'm in a partnership with a group, and we're representing companies who are trying with cities and nonprofits who are trying to get some of this money that's called Internet for All. It's about $42 billion that the federal government has put out to make sure that every community is wired appropriately, urban, rural, suburban. And there are always pockets in this country where people don't have access to the Internet. And it varied in sundry
I call them Internet deserts.
That's what they are. Exactly right, Internet deserts. The rural areas are more challenged because companies didn't want to go in there and put the infrastructure, but now there's money for all of that down. But even in cities, there are places that are Internet deserts. And we found this out during the pandemic when kids who, and there are a couple of reasons why there are challenges in cities. So during the pandemic, we found out that many young people were in certain kinds of buildings, some of them public housing and others, the buildings themselves were not wired appropriately for them to access the Internet. These are some of our larger cities and our poorer communities. So many of them had to go to places like public libraries to get their homework and all that. And if there were community centers that had hotspots that allowed people to have access to the Internet. So we need to make sure that with those places that have those kind of challenges, there are resources out there. The local governments can access them. So and one of the things, Carrie, when we get a chance off air, is to talk about what's going on in Brooklyn. I had an opportunity.
We've got
to
do this. Yes, we absolutely
have
to have
this. So I met your borough president in D.C. about a month ago. I was at a meeting, and this is interesting, because he's an Afro-Latino. You would know him from as a Latino, because he's, you know, got the color of the skin. He's a dark skinned Dominican. He's Dominican. And
one of my favorite places.
So he had the congressman in Harlem who replaced Charlie Rangel, Congressman Espinade, has a thing on Capitol Hill that I went to called Dominicans on the Hill. And so I went because I wanted to make some contacts for what I'm doing. And I actually got a chance briefly to talk to your borough president, who was one of the panelists. And after the meeting, I told him I was going to try to get to So we'll talk about that, you know, off the air, obviously. But there may be spots in Brooklyn that may not have access places. And then community organizations, in many respects, have to teach. The digital divide is not just because people don't have access to the Internet. Some people can't afford the different cable services that they have. So there are other ways to
get
to the end of
that. We got to talk about that, Wayne Smith, mm-hmm. because that's really big what you just said, and mm-hmm. that digital divide and where there are folks that just cannot get in with the Internet. And I got to work back in our brother here, Michael Hopkins, who you guys know Michael. You know he hosts the Vet Talk radio show. And Tuesday mornings at 8:30 here on our network. And I just have to say, hold on, let me just get him on to weigh in and to kind of, it's been a while, Wayne, since you've been here. Wayne Smith, again, our guest today for you folks just joining us. Wayne, this is big. Mm-hmm. And I know that, and you've been talking a lot about Michael's area, so I better get him on in to the convo, or Michael, you're going to kill us today. Michael Hopkins, again, it's great to always check in with you. You're on with King Wayne Smith, former mayor from
Jersey.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Yes. Oh, great, Wayne. I guess I'm contacting you from Michael Hopkins country here in the DMV. I love it.
Michael,
I love it, Wayne.
Wayne talking about. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it.
All about
yeah.
Wow.
Yes. And he, you know, Wayne, you are just touching on so many things that I am so familiar with. When you're talking about, you know, the governor of Maryland and mm-hmm. Miss Albright and, you know, yeah, that's the D.C. area down here.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and P.G. County, I used to live in P.G. County. And, yes, P.G. County, it's a very rich county for blacks. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm always so grateful when you're on here because – you just enlighten us so much politically, Wayne. I mean, it's
home.
Just, yes, he does in color, and I love it. But one of the questions that I had was as a veteran, and plenty of us are veterans out here, how do we get involved, Wayne, with this whole political process? A lot of us want to do it. But what are some tips that you can give us as veterans to get involved in the political process?
I was thinking about that, like more veterans in the local stuff would just be phenomenal,
so,
in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely, Kakari, you hit that. So there's a couple, yeah, obviously there's a lot of things to do. Where they say the work is plenty, but the laborers are few. So,
yeah.
So
how about that?
So and I think and more than others, people understand the price that people pay to this, what the United States represents, and veterans certainly should have their voices lifted up. So here's what I would suggest. There are a number of veterans organizations. Start there, get involved with those veterans organizations, because a lot of times they are abreast of what is happening on the local level that impacts veterans, that are what's happening on the state level that impacts veterans, what's happening on the federal level. And that way you could get a chance to, whether it's a state legislative meeting, if you need to go to a hearing, you go. And just to be involved locally, because listen, we all respect the service that you've paid, so your voice will be heard. So even on the city council level, the state legislative level, just volunteer, kind of like you see what committees that are available. There are a lot of places that have veterans committees in some branches of government. Some city governments have that. Some state governments have that. Some county governments have that. Even community boards, with like Carrie sits on a community board in New York City, they're very powerful boards. They determine what kind of land use activities happen.
Oh,
the various programs get promoted. It's a big deal.
Wayne,
very
Smith, let me also
so.
Take a moment, especially during mm-hmm. our Black History wrap-up today, Black History Month wrap-up, and Wayne Smith, our very special guest, Jesua is an extraordinary leader, business mind, great business acumen, and, of course, a legendary political aficionado, former mayor from Irvington, New Jersey, our guest today for the hour, helping us to kind of co-host and get this on going. Listen, Wayne, I'm inspired. You inspired me to becoming an appointed New York City public official, being appointed here. I was just blown away, and I'm so excited, and I kind of am starting to wrap up my first term.
Congratulations.
And so I just thank you, and I just want to say thank you to you. And I was telling Michael, someone had stopped me one day and said, thank you for your service. And I just fell out because I had never been thanked for my service. You know, I'm not a veteran like Michael Hopkins is and so many other wonderful folks out there. But I was so moved because you're right. I've been a part of several workshops here in my area. We represent with the board a constituency, just my little area, of over 200,000 persons. I represent, I believe, the only African-American on the board in my little area. And so I've been able to be part and express my voice in all kinds of concerns. Like you said, land use, which I learned a whole bunch about, to everything from crime and, you know, prevention and all those wonderful things that we get to be able to really lend our beliefs and what we want to do to make our communities better and safer. And so local politics has been a great place for me. I plan to do more, and I just want to say thank you to this man. I think a genius strategist and a big-time supporter of the Hair Radio Morning Show and our first president at the Hair Radio Association when I was getting this thing going many years ago, the one and only Wayne Smith. So you've just, you know, there's no stopping Wayne. Wayne, you are the man. You know how to do all these wonderful things.
Very much so.
Just such, yeah. When we announced that you're coming to the show, folks tune in. They listen. And they tune in.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
and Mike, I want to share with you, there's an opportunity for veteran entrepreneurs. There are a lot of, and particularly for black vets, I'm encouraging them. If they're in business, there's a whole category on the federal level, and a lot of the states are doing it, county governments, and even cities that have a category of veteran-owned businesses, and they can set aside contracts. Now, remember now, you talk about black history. A lot of the affirmative action programs and minority set-aside programs have been under attack, not just currently, but have been under attack for a number of years. And so they used to set aside certain contracts for minority businesses. And so that is under attack congressionally. But if you're a vet, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, green, or whatever, that's a whole separate category. And we have a ton of black talented vets who are in business, or some don't even know that this category exists, that they have certain contracts that are geared toward veterans, and they're trying to expand it and so forth. So that's important for vets to stay involved in our government. In fact, in New Jersey, when you take so a lot of jobs in government are what they call civil service exams, civil service jobs. And some of those jobs are by you have to take a test or whatever, or they review your skill level and you know you
they
by filling
still
out
have
an application.
That test out there.
Yeah, some do. I think most of them just assess your work history and stuff now. It used to be an actual test that you would have to take. Some still probably do the test, but you know they have veterans preferences. If you've been a veteran,
very much so.
Country, yeah, if you serve this country, you get a preference on the list. So, you know, there
very
are a lot
much
of reasons.
So.
So, yeah, there are a lot of reasons for vets to be engaged and make sure that those preferences stay,
right,
that we take advantage of them so that, you know, people say, well, ain't nobody applying for the jobs. We have to give them to somebody else. And so, and
right.
And of course, there's a lot of black vets. I was in D.C., I guess about a month or so ago, and I was at the Greater Washington Black Chamber of Commerce meeting. And they had a group that works with vets in D.C. And one of the areas that we were talking to them about was technology, vets and the need for technology. There's certain pockets, particularly as we close out this Black History Month in the black community, that we got to make sure have the technological skills. When you talk about the digital divide,
right,
depending on how old you are, whatever the case may be, you may have some challenges around updated technology skills. So at one time,
right,
this guy runs a veteran center in D.C., and then D.C. has an office on vets.
Right.
City government. Yeah,
very
much
so.
So I met the young man who runs that office, and I met this nonprofit that does educational things for. He used to have a program that Cisco trained the technology company Cisco, and a lot of their skills are used by.
Oh
Cisco.
He
once had a Cisco training center, which is now closed. We help people get those Cisco training centers. So we're trying to engage in conversation. But veterans should be making sure that they get all those technology. And then another population in the Black community that has some unique challenges around tech, not all of them, but a significant number, is our seniors. Everything that you have to do now from the hospital, the government benefits, is done by technology now. They want you to log
in. Yes, it is.
It's a struggle for a lot of our people. So the digital divide is not just access. Sometimes people can afford to get everything, but they don't have the skill level to participate. And, you know, we want to make sure that we're able to help seniors rise their level of what they call digital literacy up. And so there's money out there to create centers that church organizations that can open up their doors to do some of this. Their nonprofit organizations, their community organizations that could do some of this. And we don't compete for the money. The money goes to other places and other people.
Right. Very much so.
And this is why we have to, Wayne Smith, and you've been kind of talking about this in the hour. And that is that I think we have to always not just be vigilant, but we got to get involved. And, you know, and I go back to that where you said folks were only voting for, you know, once every 4 years at best, and some folks skipping even then, and vote once and never return back, you know. It's critical that we make these changes and close that digital divide, that digital literacy gap, and all kinds of things going on, please. So, and I think I really do have to stress, I think, as you pointed out with Michael a little bit, it starts with the, you know, getting involved on, you know, wherever you can, and do whatever you can, but do something.
Right.
I think
that's very much my takeaway.
Well, now, Wayne Smith, I have to say, again, I want to just thank you just for coming in. You've been instrumental. We wouldn't be here celebrating Black History Month if it weren't for, like, the likes of Wayne Smith and what you've done. Again, you are Black History, and you have made a big difference right here on our show and in your community as well, and just on a national and international level, through the Hair Radio Morning Show with your appearances.
Well,
so we thank you for your service.
I really appreciate that. You guys have a great day.
Well, Wayne, before you go, hold it, Wayne. What's next for sir? What are you doing?
I'm focused. So, you know, like I said, I'm working on this internet law stuff. I've also got a new client. And, Carrie, you'll be interested in this. I just picked up a client who has a product that helps with, this is a municipal government thing, so that's why he retained me to help him with this. But he's headquartered in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. And he's headquartered right there in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. Yeah. And he's developed a product that helps the salt that we use for the snowstorm. So then he's developed a solar coating which helps make the snow go away long, and it helps your salt last longer. So this is a local government thing. So you know how you have the salt trucks come and remove the snow, and they lay down the salt and all that. And they have, sometimes they have to do it two or three times in order to keep the street clean. Well, this will help them prevent it from doing it two or three times. They'll be able to do it once. because the coating draws energy from the sun that helps to melt the snow.
I'm working
with them to get his product to the municipal governments around the country. That's one of my latest projects.
Listen, Wayne, I hope you'll bring him to our show.
We'd love to talk with him.
You are doing just big stuff, Wayne Smith, and we so appreciate you and support you here. You know this is your home at the Hair Radio Morning Show. So you just keep doing what you're doing. You're always making a difference.
Very much so.
And that's never going to change. So thanks so much, Wayne. All right. Well, listen, yes, you have an awesome day. And, again, thanks for joining us. All right.
Good to talk to you.
Take care. All right.
Yeah, bye-bye, you too, Wayne. It's great. Take care.
All right. Michael Hopkins, does Wayne not bring it or what?
Oh, yes, he does, Carrie. He all night, all day. I just love talking to Wayne on his show. I love
him. Yeah, me too. He is just phenomenal and one of the most knowledgeable gentlemen that I've had the pleasure of getting to know. And I'm honored to count him as a friend and savvy business, political person, and all of the above. Just really great. Hey, I want to remind everybody we're back tomorrow. We've got a special Spotlight Hour guest joining us. Of course, Dr. Bernard Evans from BOFI will be here tomorrow and in the Spotlight Hour and so many others. Plus, we are starting our March Madness Month. We'll talk a little bit about that as well on tomorrow's show. Today is the leap day that we only get to celebrate every 4 years. We were on the air 4 years ago on the last one. I think I'll dig that up out of our archives and get that on for you tomorrow, along with so many other surprises. Don't forget to get your tickets for Get Set Atlanta. You can Google it, Get Set Atlanta. Do a Google search. It'll pop up. Buy your ticket for the VIP ticket, or you can just get a free ticket. Either way, all available at Eventbrite.com. And again, Eventbrite is Eventbrite. Great show today, Michael. What did you think, Michael?
Oh, yeah. Oh, fantastic. This was a fantastic show today. I really, 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 truly, you definitely had some of my favorite people on here in the music categories. I mean, from Stevie Wonder to Anne-Marie.
And Wayne gave him a little bit of James Brown with Living in America.
Oh, yeah. And just think, you and I have a connection to that song, Carrie Hines.
Uh-oh. You got to give it to us fast in 20 seconds. What is it?
Real quick, it's called the Rocky Trilogy, those Rocky movies. That's where that song came from.
Oh, that's right, Billy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Michael Hopkins and all the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I just want to say thank you. Great job, Michael. We're going to get our outro on. We'll see you back here tomorrow for an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Thanking everybody for being a part of our experience today.
Oh, yes.
Remember, it's been a great Thursday. On this February 29th, 2024, show number 961, and make it a great day. We just did.
Yes.
It's time again to bring today's edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. On behalf of program creator Carrie Hines and the entire broadcast family, we say thank you to our fans for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed today's presentation. It's a great honor to get your day started in the most informative and entertaining way possible. And we at Hair Radio take that task very seriously. I'm Ophelia, one of the newest additions to the lineup at the Hair Radio Morning Show. First, let's thank our incredible advertisers, beginning with our